Thank you for today. Speak to us, O God, individually as well as cooperatively, that we may experience power in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 5 to 10. The whole month, I'm looking at the book of Samuel, that is for myself, and I'm just extrapolating some few things I just want to share with you, and I believe it will bless our lives. Amen. Let's talk about the whole book of 1 Samuel chapter 9, talk about when Israel, as echoed several times repeatedly in the ears of the prophet called Samuel, and that they don't want a God as a king to rule them, because they've seen other folks, other nations have got their kings leading them to battle. Now they are fed up with God leading them, therefore they repeatedly rehearse in the ears of Samuel that we want a king, a human king. Now God has decided to obey what they are saying, and not only is God causing us to obey his word, he also sometimes listens to us. And sometimes when he listens to us, we rather go through pain. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I want you to be ready. I don't want you to be here. I want you to be ready, because we just learned about being ready. You can be here, but you are not ready. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that there was a man called Kish who had a son called Saul. And the story started like this. And Kish's donkeys got missing, and he employed or he assigned his son and a servant to be in charge of the search. The verse number 5 says that, and when they were come into the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought of us. And he said unto him, behold now. When did he say that? He said that after the servant said, that Saul said, that let's go home. The Bible said, he said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man, and all that he said cometh surely to pass. Now let us go hither. Peradventure he can share us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessel, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servants answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of the shekel of silver that I will give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God that he speak, come, let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. Amen. Amen. I know you know the story where they went to meet the prophet, and the prophet, through the prophet, Saul, who was a seeker or a searcher, became a king. Amen. I'm not going to talk about that one today, but I'm going to talk about the fact that the Bible said that this man decided to go because the servant said so. Amen. I want you to look at the face of your neighbor and say, neighbor, your helpers are around you. Say, neighbor, neighbor, please, your helpers are around you. Hallelujah. Anything you want in your life, God said, I should tell you, he has sent your helper. Last week we started on no more controversy, and we established a point that the first thing we need to succeed is that we must be people who have God goals. We have a place we are going. The Bible refers to us as called what we term as vision. It said a nation without a vision shall perish. Vision is your sight. If you are going somewhere and you are blind, it is useless to go. Praise the Lord. And we established last week that goal is paramount in being successful in life. Nobody become great without any goal. Praise the Lord. Then we said that second thing is what? Your attitude will determine your attitude. Then we said that we need a strategy to move forward. Then we concluded that apart from having all these three things, sometimes one could have them and still not succeed. Then we said that the concluding part of being a goal setter, being a person who has got a good attitude, and thirdly, having a strategy, there are times you need supporters or helpers. Hallelujah. And over here, I want to start from the scripture we just read. The Bible said there was a servant, and who is a servant? A servant is a devoted and a helpful follower or a supporter. So all our servants are also our helpers. Amen. Nobody can succeed without an helper, without a helper. Because if you don't have a helper, you can't succeed. That is why the Bible said that it said it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helpmate. Praise God. Amen. Tell somebody you need a helper. Supporters are more, when you look at all the four things I mentioned, I mentioned goal setters, I mentioned people who have got attitude, I mentioned people who have got strategies, and I also told you that we need supporters. The three things that are the goal and the attitude and the strategies, in order for them to be effective, you need helpers in all of them. For you to be a good goal setter, you need an helper. If you don't get a good helper, you can't set good goals. So I would say that supporters or helpers are more of a catalyst, and they are interwoven within all the above 3 points. That is the goal setting, the attitude, and the strategy. I remember when I wanted to buy a car, I didn't know what to buy. I didn't know how to buy. And I just walked into somebody's house, and I happened to be in a person's house. It said that it is good to buy a diesel car, because diesel car, when you're traveling long, it is able to endure, and it's more economical. These are my helpers. I needed somebody to guide me. And God located me into somebody's house, and the person directed me. And because I got that in my heart, I decided to set for it. It helped my goal setting. It affected my attitude on what to set and how to set. Hallelujah. So God has placed supporters or helpers in our life. We receive enhancement with their inputs. Praise the Lord. The right attitude are not built in a day. The right attitude is not built in a day, but rather the best attitude is developed through the phase of time. To be having this attitude that will get you to your destination, into the prophetic word of God, this attitude is not built in the day. You build the attitude by using things, and our life is so much that this week and this month, I have come across a word I call, that is a word and the kind of knowledge our young people or even some adults are missing, and that is what we call experiential knowledge. It is a knowledge you acquire by experience. And that is why most young people, if they know what we know, they will not do what they're doing. Why? Because they haven't got the experience. Someone say experience. Now, in shaping our attitude, our environment plays a very important, or what I term as essential role. The most important environment we have is the people we associate with. The people you associate with can determine your attitude. How your behavior is dependent on your attitude. Praise the Lord. So your attitude is shaped by the people around you. Those who influence our lives so greatly are our friends. Our friends shapes our attitude so much. That is why the Bible tells it that show me your friend and I will show you your character. Your character is your attitude. In Proverbs chapter 17, in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, the Bible said, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. So if you want to be somebody who is great person, or you want God has called you to be great, you must be very careful with the friends you select and the people you associate with. Praise the Lord. I want you to understand that whatever God wants you to become, he accepts the prerequisite or the things you need that will make you what you will become. It is already set in motion. Otherwise, God is not fair. But the problem is that you either underestimate or look down upon the things God has placed around you. When you read the scripture carefully in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 5 to 6, the Bible said, when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, which means that there could be other servants that were not with him. He said, come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought of us. Praise the Lord. Be with me here. Now, this was, when you look at the New Old Testament carefully, and you look at the structure here, you could see that he recognized, the servant recognized Saul as a master. And it was very unfair. It was not common for you to see a servant advising a master. It was always the master who instructed the servant. But the Bible said that this man didn't know that his success is controlled or predicated on the people around him. The Bible said that we define a servant as an helper. Somebody who is a helper, helpmate. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said that's what he did. If you are somebody that I am helping, it means that if I am helping you, I don't determine the pace. I don't determine what you go for, but I help you in whatever you are doing. Why? Because I am a helper. I am not an initiator. Amen. And that is why we have so many problems in marriages when those who are supposed to support are initiators. When you initiate something, it must confine itself within the perimeters of what I am already doing. And that is why most wives, the husband wants to grow banana and the wife wants him to grow orange. And it doesn't work that way. If you are helpmate, you want to support me in what I am doing, don't force me into something that I've not been called to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible said what? The Bible said in the verse number 6 where I want to dwell carefully. The Bible said, and he said unto him, the servant said unto Saul. The servant said unto Saul, he said, behold now. Come on, say behold now. Why was he saying behold now? Because the control was in the hands of the master. And now that the baton have changed, because the reason why I am following you is not for us to go back without the asses. My ulterior motive, the purpose for which I've been told to follow you, Saul, was for me to help you to locate the asses. Now you are telling us for me to go back. This is not what I've been called to help you to do. Some people have been placed around you. They are not support you for you to quit. They have been placed around you to cause you to succeed. That is why you must understand that God has placed people around you to support you. If you identify somebody who must support you in what you are doing, and they are trying to cause you to quit in what they have been called to support you in, it is time you tell them to quit themselves, because they don't know what their role is. The Bible said that the man of God said, behold now. The servant said, behold now, because now you are trying to deviate from your purpose. I, as the helper, must support you to put you back on track. He said, there is a prophet in the city, and he's a renowned, honorable man, and all that he said come to pass. Amen. Look, I'll come back to this. He said, now, before the helper could take over, is because the one he's trying to help was trying to quit. You can quit on me, because the reason why you are here is to support me. That is why in a church setting, members are supporting the leaders to do their job. So if the members begin to quit, it means they don't know what they have been called to do. Say, I can't quit, because I must help. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This servant has so much to give, but gave little because of the wrong disposition of the master. Because the master was in control, the servant couldn't suggest anything because the master was in control. But the only time the helper could take control, the only time the helper could play his role, was when the master changed the disposition of his role. The helper of Saul was helpless until the right atmosphere was created for him to act. There are certain people around you who have been appointed into your life by God to help you, but because of the way you treat them, you handle them, and because of the things you say, they can't help you because of the wrong disposition. Because of your wrong behavior, they are not able to help you. Say, today God will help me, because my helpers will locate me. There are many people the Lord has positioned in our life to help us, but because of our inability to create the right atmosphere, they are not able to help us in this rightful way. There are many people in the Bible who receive help because they admitted that we need help. Your helper cannot help you when he could read through the lines and know that you don't need his help. If your helper position themselves around you, and all that you make them feel is that I don't need your help, they will not give you the help, they will go away. Even though their role is to help you, if you don't allow them, they can't do it. That is why the Holy Spirit doesn't force anybody. The Bible says he will help you. He's a helper. The Holy Spirit will help you. He doesn't initiate, but he will help you. If you stop him, he will stop. He doesn't impose things on people. The Bible said in the book of John chapter 5 verse 6 to 7. I must trust God to finish. Amen. In John chapter 5 verse 6 to 7, the Bible said when Jesus saw him lying, he knew he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, would thou not be made whole? Jesus knew the position of the man. Jesus was a helper in the man's life. But Jesus couldn't force himself on the man. He asked him a question. He said, would thou not be made whole? Hallelujah. The Bible said the impotent man answered and said, say, I have no man. So if this man is saying, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but there is no man to put me into the pool, but whilst I try to step in, another man jumped before me. What this man is trying to say is that I have no man, so if you are a man, come and be a man to me. Hallelujah. The only way this man received his miracle was that he told Jesus, I promise you, I don't have any man. There are certain people who don't have what it takes, but they always behave around people as if they got what it takes. Therefore, these people cannot help you because you've got what it takes. God will never put you in a situation. The Bible said that when we are tempted by our own lustful desire, God always make a way of escape for us. Which means that before you went through your storm, God has already made a way to be open for you. Hallelujah. God has already made a way for you. Let's have one person just shut the door. Amen. So that somebody will understand the dimensions in which we are. If you don't create the right environment, God cannot help you. The Bible said, he said, I have no man. Because he had no man, then Jesus could jump in. But Jesus wouldn't have done anything about it if the man had said that I can do it by myself. Amen. In John chapter 3 verse 9 to 10, the Bible said there was a man called Nicodemus who came to Jesus. And when he interacted with Jesus, according to the scriptures, he was a very knowledgeable person in the scriptures. And the Bible said when Jesus interacted with him, he said, how can I be born again? This man asked a question, how can I be born again? It was a nice question that he asked. He said, what? How can I be born again? Because he asked him, how can I be born again? He was not afraid to ask him, how can I be born again? Even though he knew the scriptures, he was not ashamed to come down to the level where he can receive what he has in God. The Bible said, he said, how can I be born again? And Jesus said to him, accept him. Man be born again. Even when Jesus taught him how to become born again, he didn't understand how he will become born again. He went on further to humble himself and ask him, how can I become born again? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How to empower your helpers? How do I empower my helpers? In this ministry, we wanted keyboardists. We needed a bass guitarist. Not knowing the solution, it was not outside there, the solution was inside there. So how do we create the environment where we will have people, our helpers, to help us to solve our issues, to help us to solve our situations? If you don't allow your helper to help you, you will be in the state in which you are forever, and God will come to you and tell you that a door was open for you, but because you didn't allow it to be open, that is why you are in this situation. Praise the Lord. It will surprise you about the things you can do if you can get somebody to help you. Number one, the first principle when it comes to empowering your helpers. The first thing you must do to empower your helpers to do their role in your life, to perform their role in your life, is you must humble yourself. The word humbling oneself means having or showing a modest or low esteem of one's importance. Putting your pride aside to create an atmosphere for your helpers to feel comfortable around you. I like it when Saul was walking with this man. Look at what he said. He said, I want us to go back home because my father will stop thinking about the asses and he will start thinking about us. He's trying to equate, the master is equating himself to the servant. He said, my father will start thinking about us. Wow. When did that become so important that the master will start thinking about me? Saul would have easily said that my father will be thinking about me. If your father will be thinking about you, then you better go back home. But if your father will be thinking about us, then it's about time I help you. So you have to humble yourself for your helper to help you. Hallelujah. There are certain times in our life that you must trust God by humbling yourself. The Bible says, humble yourself and he will lift you high. Your upliftment is based on your humbling capacity. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, humble yourself. You can be a doctor, you can have a degree, you can have your master's, but there are certain places when you get to, you have to humble yourself because there are things you will get to understand later on when I talk about this. You must learn to humble yourself. You may be very important, but you must humble yourself. The second principle is that you must value the people around you. The man equated himself to the servant, master equated himself to the servant, which means that he created an atmosphere to value the person around him. If you don't value the people around you, you can't move forward. They can't share their power with you. They can't share what they are able to do with you. If you want to be a great, a man called Simon Sinek, S-I-N-E-K, he said that he made a quote, and I quote, he said, if you want to be a great leader, remember, everybody is a leader. Amen. You are leading something in your life. Amen. You are leading your life. If you are not a leader of anybody, you are leading your own life. Amen. Say to your neighbor, you are a leader. If you want to be a great leader, remember to treat all people with respect at all time. For one, because you never know when you will need their help. And two, because it is a sign you respect people, which all great leaders do. So if you are somebody who don't value people around you and treat them with a level of respect and with some level of dignity, you will lose much in your life. Amen. The Bible said in the 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 5, it said, when they had come to the place, to the land of Zoph, Saul said to the servant, it said, come, let us return, lest my father start thinking about us. Hallelujah. So the first thing you do is to humble yourself. The principles will never change. The principle of greatness will never change. You must humble yourself. If you can humble yourself, doors will open for you. Somebody once made a statement. He said, I should go and say sorry to him. I should go and say this. I should go. No, do you know who I am? We don't care who you are, because your upliftment is based on how you start and how you handle your small beginning. How do you treat people? Humble yourself. And the second thing is what? Value people around you. Hallelujah. The Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 13. If people know how you value their words in your life, some people advise you and you don't even take it, you don't respect it, you don't regard it, you don't do anything about it, and it looks as if what they said to you was stupid. Please value, when you are valuing somebody, you value the words they say. Hallelujah. The Bible said there was some story also in 2 Kings chapter 5, a man called Naaman, who had a leprosy. The Bible said that he was told by the prophet to go and wash himself in the water. But the Bible said he couldn't go and wash himself in the water. He said, why will I go and wash myself in this water? He looked at his position as the army officer or the captain, and he said he would not allow the prophet, who had no qualification in fighting or in army bearing skills. And the Bible said he looked down upon the words of the servant called the prophet called Elisha. He looked down upon him. If you look down on me, you will look down on my words. Look up on me and you will look up on my words. That is why most people, we don't value Jesus. That is why we don't take his words serious. How much you value a person is based on how much you value his words. Praise the Lord. The Bible said, and his servant came near. That was the servant. The servant is called a helpmate. He spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, would thou not have done it? And he said, I would have done it. He said, why just don't you do these little things? Praise the Lord. I want to plead with you. The great change you want in your life is not coming by a great move. It's coming by a little move. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, humble yourself. Say to your neighbor, humble yourself. Why must you value people around you? Because the third point is that let people know that you don't know it all. Praise the Lord. Let people know that you don't know it all. Let people know that you don't know it all. The Bible says Saul came to the point where he said, at the moment, I think we've searched enough. I don't know any way out. Let's go back home. You must know, you must create. There are certain people, anytime you try to advise them, yes, that one, I know that one. It was just, I forgot, yes. Yes, I'm waiting for, there is somebody I know. Amen. That's your neighbor, is it you? I said, I'm a math teacher. I said, there is somebody I know. Do I know you? Yes, so I know you. You are one of those people I know. Amen. Anytime you say that, can you move this chair here? Because, I knew about that one. Amen. And there are some young folks nowadays, even in the school setting, when you try to correct them, they reply, it's all saying thank you. They say, I know. Amen. If you create an atmosphere that you know it all, people will leave you alone. But when you create an atmosphere that I don't know it all, people will help you. Because you always make people feel like your contribution, decision is always the best. I know it all, people. I know it all, character. People can't support you when you have this characteristics. Amen. Ask your neighbor, do you know it all? I thought it was a question. Did you answer? Amen. I remember I went to Tesco, and Tesco have started bringing, they've introduced their new club card. They've changed it. It used to be something else before. Now they are using a new one. And I have tried it I've scanned it several times. It doesn't scan. And I concluded that the old one was better than the current one. Not knowing it was not true. It was because I didn't know how to use it. I was one time wearing my suit right coming from school. And I have scanned it and scanned it. It wasn't working. And the man behind the table, I said, this one, I don't think it's working. He said, don't worry. Place it in the middle of the glass. When you place it there, it doesn't take 2 seconds. Pa, it's done. Ever since I discovered that this one was even better than the old one. It means that there are some things in your life you are thinking they are the worst. But if somebody can reposition you, you will discover that the door is already close to you. How did I get to know this point? The Bible said that the place where Saul said, let's go home, not knowing it was the same city their breakthrough was. If he had moved away from that city, it means they were away from their open door. The day you can tell somebody that I don't know what to do, I don't know how to solve it, I don't know how to do this, that day will be the day the doors will open for you. But because you always say, I know it all. The Bible said the city where they were, the place where he said, let's go back home, that was the place they were supposed to find their doors open. Today, God will cause you to find your doors open. I say today, God will cause you to open your doors. One thing you must understand is that I made a point that your helper is around you. Somebody will not understand me. But one thing you must understand, that helpers have been placed in chain. If you don't know the person who will help you, there is somebody you know who can introduce the person you don't know. Praise the Lord. So if you don't know how to sing, somebody who knows how to sing, a little bit will guide you to somebody who can sing better. The Bible said that Saul didn't know, but the servant also didn't know how to find the donkey, but he knows somebody who can help them to find the donkey. Praise the Lord. Servant couldn't help Saul, but he knew somebody who could connect him to a higher door. Amen. That is why you must be very, very careful the way you handle people. That is why I've already made this point before, that the person who will help you more is your parents. They can't take you. There are certain people who are not educated, but they can educate you. Hallelujah. Jesus created an atmosphere for all his helpers. The Bible said in the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 8, it said, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became what? Obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. He became humble. Even Jesus humbled himself. Ask yourself, am I humble? Ask yourself, Jesus valued the people around him. Jesus also valued the people around him. I'm picking the point and relating it to Jesus. I'll finish in the next few minutes. Jesus valued the people around him. How did I get to know? In Acts chapter 4 verse 13, the Bible said, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took no knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. It means that Jesus confided, Jesus valued people who were not valuable. He made them feel valuable, and they became valuable. If the light, you heard the gospel not because of Jesus, but because the helpers of Jesus made it possible for you to hear the gospel. If Jesus could move forward in his ministry, he couldn't do away without helpers. Today you will find your helper. I say today you will find your helper. Sometime you must help. I'm finishing now. Give me 10 minutes. I'll finish, I promise you. Amen. Sometimes you help your helper to help you. For your helper to help you, sometimes you must help your helper to help you. How did I know? Jesus Christ located Peter, who was the helper of his life. But how did he help? How did Peter help Jesus? We know that he preached the gospel. But before Peter could help Jesus, Jesus helped him to catch fish. Sometimes your helper, you must help your helper to help you. Hallelujah. Amen. Ask your neighbor, do you have helpers? Recently, somebody sent me a video. And the video, he classified people around us in 3 categories. He said, there are people around us who are leaves. People, the first group of people are people who are leaves. And they feed on, they are based on this theory that I'm setting here, the principle we set in here, that you help your helper to help you. When you see leaves there, it provides beauty to the plant. It provides what? Beauty. Through the leaves, we are able to get the fruit. But the fruit cannot come because the leaves will feed on the what? On the root. So it feed on it and it bring glory to the plant. And they said the people who are leaves in our life, they feed on us. When things become difficult, they run away. During the dry season, they have to stick with you so that people will get to know that they are nice and beautiful. Then they go away during the dry season. Then the second category of people, they said they are the stem. They are the stem. The stem will not leave you, but they always will. They always feed on you more. Hallelujah. And they said the last group of people is that they are the root. It doesn't matter what you do, they are still with you. There are times when things become difficult for them, they will dry up and fade off. The stem will dry up and what? And take, get itself off from you. But the root will always remain with you. Then the question I ask myself is, am I a root or I am a stem? Am I a stem or I am a leaf? Am I that or that? And somebody will want to say that I am the root. I'm always a root. Yes, yes, it's good. It's only a fool who will always be a root to everybody. You can't be a root to everybody. You can't. There are people, you meet them, you have to treat them with a level of leaves. There are people, you meet them, you treat them with a level of stem. And there are people, you meet them, you treat them with a level of what? Of root. How did I know? The Bible says that Judas betrayed Jesus. Jesus allowed him to go. He's either a leaves or what? Or a stem. A branch. Praise the Lord. Precious one, I want to announce to somebody under the sound of my voice as I bring this message to a conclusion. Everything you need in your life, God has made a way of escape around you. It is about time you begin to humble yourself. It's about time you begin to value the people around you. If we had not valued these young people, children around us, they wouldn't respect us to even sit behind the keyboard and play. Why? Because we valued them. We humbled ourselves around them. We respected them. Even though we had power, we have what it takes to dictate to them. We didn't do that, but we respected them and we humbled ourselves around them. And precious, if you can't humble yourself, you can't get anywhere in your life. Today I am here to tell you, your door can shut by the people around you. That is why when you apply for a job, they ask for a reference. They want to know what the people around you are saying. Your people will make a way for you. Precious one, I want to plead with you, the tears on your face, if you admit it and say to somebody, I can't do it, it is too difficult for me. And the person can open up and advise you, and through that advice, doors will open for you. But if you behave as if you know it all, then nobody can help you. I believe and I know that some people, you share things with them and they betray you. It doesn't mean that sharing things is wrong. In conclusion, I've met great men of God who have divorced their wives. And most of them said, if I know what I know now, I wouldn't have divorced them. Which means that they knew something now that they didn't know before. And that was in the hands of somebody. And if God can cause that somebody to come around you, you wouldn't have failed in that situation you are in. Stand on your feet. Precious one, you want to pray to God and say, God, help me to humble myself. God, help me to humble myself. Help me to value the things around me. Help me to value the things around me. Let me behave like somebody who doesn't know it all. Come on, begin to pray. The Lord needs somebody around you. You must humble yourself. Begin to pray and say, God, the helper in my life, may I humble myself around them. May I value them. May I treat them with respect. May I honor them. The door that will open for me, let the people around me, may I begin to value them. My God, my Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for you today that God will help you. That God will help you to identify your helpers. If Jesus needed the help of somebody, Joseph Arimathea was a friend of Jesus. Jesus valued him. Jesus cherished him. And after the death of Jesus, he bought a tomb for Jesus. May you value the people around you. May you treat them with respect. If you have sinned against them, go and plead for forgiveness. May your life never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. I am here to tell you that what you are looking for is around you. Your amen is too weak. I said what you are looking for is around you. Accept that you can't do it. Accept it. Put the right people around you. Talk to them. And say, let them help you. The Bible said that Abraham was promised by God. But strangers, who were his helpers, their feet were dirty. Sometimes your helpers come to you and they don't look like they are helpers. But today, you will locate your helpers. In the name of Jesus, stay blessed. Amen. Father, we bless this offering in the name of Jesus. Sanctify, purify. Bless our tithe. Bless our freeway offering. Bless us. Bless us. Bless us. In the name of Jesus, amen.